put yourself in Jonah's shoes. You know what you would be saying, what I would be saying. Lord, what in all the world are you doing? Yesterday you gave me this wonderful good gift. Today it's lying withered on the ground. You pour happiness into my life. Now you take it away. The vine that you gave has gone as fast as it came. One day you pour in your blessing. The next day you take it away. What are you doing?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think many of us can kind of put ourselves in Jonah's shoes. We look at the circumstances of life and we say, God, what are you doing?
Oh, I think it's very easy to stand in Jonah's shoes. Every person who's been in the position of praying for a loved one who is sick and they get a bit better and you say, oh, God's answering prayer. And then they get worse and they take a turn and you say, what in the world is happening? And that's where Jonah was. Yeah. He receives a blessing. And then it gets taken away, and what in the world is God doing?
And that's the question that we're going to answer in today's broadcast. If you can, open your Bible and join us in Jonah chapter 4 as we begin the message, Rejoice in God's Gifts as Though They Were Rights. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, please have your Bible open at Jonah and chapter 4. We're going to follow these verses fairly closely today. And we're seeing that the book of Jonah is about the unraveling of a mature believer's inner life. We're also discovering the marvelous faithfulness of God, that when the wheels come off, as it were, God does not abandon his own children. He is faithful to his own. Jonah is really opening up what happened in his life. He wants us to know that underneath his fine reputation, there was really a divided heart. And that while God used him in remarkable ways, he spent much of his life actually avoiding the God he set out to serve. And as we've moved into chapter 4, we've found this surprising truth that although God used Jonah in such a remarkable way to transform a city through his ministry, after that great revival experience, Jonah is not full of joy, but rather he is angry and he is frustrated. And it might be helpful for us just to think of it this way, that actually God does a double restoration in Jonah's life. Most people know about the first restoration, when he's thrown into the water and God saves him by sending this fish. But there's another restoration that is every bit as important in the book, because Jonah's problem was not just the rebellion of disobedience that you have at the beginning when he goes off to Tarshish. It's the hidden anger and resentment that is bubbling under in his heart and in his life. And God delivers him from that and restores him from that in chapter 4. That is every bit as important as the restoration that took place in chapter 1. And so that's where we've come today, and we're taking it up in chapter 4 and verse 5, where after this experience of being used by God in Nineveh and the frustration and anger that Jonah was experiencing in the wake of it, we read that Jonah went out and he sat down at a place east of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and he sat in its shade and he waited to see what would happen to the city. Now let's try and put ourselves in Jonah's shoes. You're in the desert, you're on your own, it's a hot day, you're sitting in the sand looking at a city you really don't like. You're feeling miserable, you've got some resentment that's going on, and you are not happy about life. The sun is beating down on your head, it's a sweltering hot day, and you think, I really need to make myself a shelter. But you're out in the desert, so there isn't much to make a shelter with, you know, a few pieces of brick perhaps, or clay, some stones that are around, nothing very much that is living or growing. And so you make yourself a little baked clay shelter, and there you sit, absolutely miserable. And then God steps in verse 6. And we have this wonderful expression of the kindness of God. The Lord God provided a vine, this living plant full of green foliage, and he made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. Now, for you gardeners, you need to know Miracle-Gro never had anything on this. This was a miracle plant. In the desert, God just causes it to grow. I'm thinking in my mind of where you have one of these high-speed cameras that, you know, Planet Earth type programs can show you the growth of a plant in a few seconds. We can give that appearance on a high-speed camera. Well, God gave that reality by a miracle of his grace, and he did it for the simple reason. Jonah was really uncomfortable. He's there with nothing more than a baked clay shelter, and God provides this vine, we're told in verse 6, to cover, to give shade for Jonah's head and to ease his discomfort. It's a wonderful expression of the kindness of God. And as God gives this very simple and very wonderful good gift into Jonah's life, we read in verse 6 that Jonah was very happy about the vine. And I can imagine Jonah looking at his old baked clay shelter and then looking at this mass of green foliage that has come up overnight, and he's saying to himself, my God's shelter is sure better than mine. God's gift then of the vine brought joy, it brought comfort, it brought blessing into Jonah's life at this particularly difficult time. And he was very happy about the vine. Now, here's the question. I think you'll find it easy to make the connection with the message this morning. What is your vine? What in your life brings joy, comfort, blessing? What in your life is a gift from God that you would say, that's my vine? It just has brought blessing into my life. I think of my own life. I think of my wife. I think of my children. I think of my home. I think of the privilege of being part of this church. I think of the joy of fulfilling work. The list goes on and on and on. What's your vine? God is good. And into every life, he brings good gifts that bring you joy that you would not have if it was not for that gift. Think about this with me. What is your vine that brings joy, that brings blessing, that brings comfort, that makes your life in this world so much better than it would be if it was not for this gracious gift of God in his abundant kindness? Valentine's Day is coming up. So for the guys who are looking for a good line to write in a card to your wife, you could just say, you are my vine. You are the gift of God to me. You bring me blessing. You bring me joy. My life is so rich because of you, and I thank God for you, and I love you. And ladies, you might even consider saying that in regard to your husband. What else is your vine? Friends. You have a business that is been blessed? Do others speak well of you? You have enough money to spend some on your pleasure? Thank God for the vine.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Rejoice in God's Gifts as Though They Were Rights. It's part of our series on the life of Jonah called How to Avoid a God-Centered Life. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series or you want to go back and listen to it again, you can do that at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station, make the podcast, the app, and all the ministry tools available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you a copy of Martin Lloyd-Jones' book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Its Cure. And Colin, who is Martin Lloyd-Jones and why should we read this book?
Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones is one of my favorite preachers and writers of all time. By wide consensus, he was one of the greatest preachers in the 20th century. He's with the Lord now, but we have the legacy of his writings that are certainly among my treasured possessions. Spiritual Depression is his best book. It's my favorite book of all the many that he wrote. I'm actually on my third copy of this now, Steve. I bought my first copy in 1976, the year I went to college. And I'm on my third copy now because the first two are just about falling apart. And so I'm delighted that we're able to offer a new edition of Spiritual Depression. It really is a spiritual classic. Lloyd-Jones was a medical doctor in London and a prestigious medical doctor, very successful in London before he became a pastor. But he felt the calling of God into Christian ministry and became an expositor of the Word of God. But you can see the way in which he uses his background as a medical doctor, applying skills of diagnosis and prescription. So the subtitle here, The Causes and Cure of Spiritual Depression. And chapter after chapter, he just goes through one cause after another for darkness and discouragement that comes into the experience of a Christian believer. So I think folks will find as you read through this that sometimes you'll say, well, that's something I recognize, but it's not where I'm at now. You keep reading and then you get to a place where you say, oh, that's exactly where I am now. And he has diagnosed that precisely. Now, what's he going to say about the cure? It's a wonderfully, wonderfully encouraging book. And there's a reason why I've been going back to it for more than 40 years and will continue to do so.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, Spiritual Depression, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or you can call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or visit the website openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, notice the next thing that happens in verse 7, because no sooner has God poured in this wonderful good gift into Jonah's life, but verse 7, something else happens. The worm. At dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Now, can you imagine this? Jonah has been enjoying the cool shade of God's vine, the blessing of God in his life, and he wakes up the next day and he thinks, oh, this is good, life is good, another day rejoicing in the cool shade of God's vine, and he looks around as he wakens himself up, and there's the vine lying withered, limp on the sand. The worm has come and has chewed up the vine. Now, put yourself in Jonah's shoes. You know what you would be saying, what I would be saying? Lord, what in all the world are you doing? Yesterday you gave me this wonderful good gift. Today it's lying withered on the ground. You pour happiness into my life. Now you take it away. The vine that you gave has gone as fast as it came. One day you pour in your blessing. The next day you take it away. What are you doing? Now, there's a pattern here. The vine brings joy, comfort, and blessing into Jonah's life. And we are all able to think of the good gifts of God that bring blessing and joy to us. But the worm brings sorrow, loss, and disappointment into Jonah's life. So, obvious question. What is your worm? What is going on in your life right now that brings you sorrow, that brings you loss, that brings you disappointment? And all of us will be able to identify not only the vine, but also in our experience, the worm. You build a business, and it's a great blessing, but as times change, it becomes a burden rather than a blessing. Your ministry sees evangelistic success. God blesses it in an amazing way, and then something happens, and it seems that all the good work that you have been doing seems undone. You devote your life as a mother to children in the home, and you pour yourself into them, and then they're off at college, and the home is quiet and empty, and the vine that has brought such blessing and joy into your life is no longer there, and you say, what's my life for? By the way, isn't this a helpful way of thinking about what's going on in our economy? Think of it. God sends a bull market, and we all rejoice in the vine. God sends a bear market, and we all complain about the worm. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. And that's what Jonah is learning here, and it is painful stuff. By the way, it's also a helpful way of thinking about times when you may fail or fall into sin as a Christian believer. You know, let's think about a guy who's been struggling with one particular temptation, failed again and again and again. And then in God's mercy, through some prayer and some help and through some accountability, begins to get victory. And he goes for some time. He's victory. And he's rejoicing in the victory as blessing and comfort. It's his victory becomes his vine. Lord, this is great. I've never been here before. And then something happens and suddenly he's back where he was. He's fallen into his old sin one more time. The worm has come. And he says, oh, Lord, you've taken away the very thing that you just gave me, the victory that was such a joy to me. What is going on? Now, this vine-worm pattern is repeated in 1,000 ways in every human experience. Then I want you to notice something else, because it gets worse. Verse 8, the wind. When the sun rose, so this is the same day as the vine was chewed up by the worm. Now the sun's coming up, and we're told when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Now, again, try and put yourself in Jonah's shoes. It's bad enough to lose the vine. But now, on the same day as the vine is chewed up, God now sends this east wind. So the sand's blowing into Jonah's face. The sun is beating down on his head. Jonah's thinking, Lord, if you're going to take away my vine, at least take it away on a cool day. But now you've taken away the vine and you send a scorching east wind. Have you discovered troubles never come singly? And when one thing happens that brings disappointment and pain and loss into your life, so often there is something else that brings aggravation and makes it even worse. So the vine brings comfort and it brings joy and it brings blessing. The worm brings sorrow and loss and disappointment. And the wind makes it worse by adding affliction and pain and distress. So, obvious question, what is your east wind? What, as you look at your life right now, is bringing to you a sense of affliction? What brings you pain? What brings you distress? Now, let's stand back from this. This vine worm wind pattern. Really a very helpful little handle for us thinking about how God operates in our lives. And it's very important to ask this question. Once you've got them in your mind, the vine, the worm, and the wind, which of these comes from God? That's a very important question. Which one comes from God? Because everyone's quick to say, well, the vine comes from God. But some of us are not so sure about the difficult things that happen in life and where God is in them. I want you to see the clear teaching of the Bible here in verse 6, 7, and 8. It really couldn't be more plain. Verse 6 of chapter 4, God provided the vine. And then you notice exactly the same phrase in chapter 4 and verse 7. Do you see it there? Who provided the worm? God provided the worms, clearly stated. And then just to make it absolutely plain, if you look in verse 8, notice exactly the same language. Who provided the scorching east wind? Answer, God provided the scorching east wind. It's the same word, and it's used 3 times in 3 verses because Jonah is teaching us this very important truth. He's saying, I want you to understand that God's hand was as much in the worm and the wind as in the vine. That God was working as much in the wind that brought affliction and pain and distress and in the worm that brought sorrow and loss and disappointment. He was working as much in them as he was in the vine that brought comfort, joy, and blessing. He provided all three. And they were all being used in God's sovereign purpose in Jonah's life. By the way, there is one more time that the word provided is used in the book of Jonah. One more thing that God provided, and it's the most obvious thing in the book of Jonah. What else did God provide at the beginning of the story? He provided the fish. That's it. It's the same word. You can check it out in chapter 1 and verse 17. The Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and it was in this way that Jonah, of course, was saved from drowning. So put these things together, and we're learning this truth, that the God who saved Jonah by providing a great fish now sanctifies Jonah by providing a vine, a worm, and an east wind. It's the same word. By the way, we try to learn Bible words so that we know them when we see them in the Bible, and so it's good for us to know the words justification and sanctification. You can think of it this way: justification is how God forgives us through Jesus. Sanctification is how God makes us like Jesus. The first is an event, the second is a process. We're talking here about our sanctification, that is, how God works in a believer's life to make us like Jesus. And what Jonah is discovering, as one who was saved by God's wonderful provision at the beginning of the story, he is now being sanctified by God's amazing provision, and God sanctifies through gifts that bring you joy. He sanctifies through trials that bring you sorrow. He sanctifies through experiences that may bring you pain. He sanctifies through the vine, and through the worm, and through the wind. So Jonah wants us to know that God's hand is right in the middle of it. The fish is God's fish. The vine is God's vine. The worm is God's worm. And the east wind is God's east wind. Now, as we try to let that settle in our minds, that God, the New Testament puts it this way, God works in all things for the good, the ultimate good, the sanctification of those who love him, Romans 8:28. He works in the vine for that end, he works in the worm for that end, and he works through the wind for that end. Let's ask this question. I can see how God works through the vine, but how does God work? What does God do through the worm? What does God do through the wind? I want to suggest that you think about it this way, that God used the worm and the wind to save Jonah from a vine-centered life. And a person who lives a vine-centered life is a person who ends up loving God's gifts more than we love the one who gives the gifts.
That's a great reminder from Pastor Colin today that we can be tempted to be so focused on the gifts that God has given us and be so in love with those that we end up loving those more than the God who gives those gifts to us. Well, unfortunately, we do have to pause the message right here, but we'll continue the second half of this message, Rejoicing God's Gifts, next time here on Open the Bible. You might not be able to listen to this program each and every day on the radio, but you don't have to miss the program. You can always listen at our website. Just come to openthebible.org, where you can stream the program through your computer or mobile device, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Well, Colin, I love the point that we heard as we wrapped up today's message here. God had poured out his blessing on Jonah. He'd given him this vine, and then God took that away so that Jonah would not be wrapped up in this vine-centered life. And I'm not sure that I've heard anyone bring out that point like that before.
Yeah, well, the gifts of God so easily become the things that we value more than God himself. So
yeah.
God causes your business to flourish, and then the business becomes the great thing in your life. God blesses your family, then the family becomes the great thing in your life. In Jonah's case, and for all of us in ministry, in one way or another, God blesses the ministry, and then the ministry becomes a great thing.
It's kind of a full circle thing there. I mean, Jonah had this vine of ministry at the beginning of our story. God took it away, sent him another direction.
That
and
was
here
why
we see
I didn't
it happening
leave.
Again.
That's right. He's right back where he was. Isn't it amazing how little progress he's been made?
Yeah.
And he's every bit as much dependent on the grace of God in chapter 4 as he was in chapter 1.
Right.
And God is still gracious towards him. And it's the moments where God takes something away, where we really come to the place of saying, is God really God in my life, or are God's gifts the things that are ultimate to me? And this is a defining moment for Jonah, and it's part of his great testimony to the grace of God.
Well, we're going to continue to look at the story of Jonah on our next broadcast, so I hope you'll make it a point to tune in for that. If you ever do miss a program, you can always be listening at our website, openthebible.org, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. One other way to listen is to order a copy of this entire series, How to Avoid a God-Centered Life, on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365.
or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace. You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.